You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Wait, what happened with David Sampson?
Oh, you missed it! The greatest segment ever! Ever!
Adnan just gave it to David Sampson. David Sampson, who always just has this look of nothing you can say affects me, and he like left in anger. He left the Zoom. It was because he was doing his top five movies, and Adnan was just destroying his list, and he got really upset and left the Zoom.
Refused to give us the number one.
He's like, I gotta go. I have a recording with Skipper in 2 minutes. I gotta go. The actual boss of this company.
He took 2 minutes to explain why he didn't have time to say his number one movie. Because I think he was a little hurt by the reaction to his number two.
He was a lot of hurt.
His number two movie. Mike, his number two movie of all time, which he claimed was better than The Godfather.
He said it's the best script ever put on the silver screen.
Better than The Godfather. Grand Canyon. Starring Danny Glover and Kevin Kline. It was not a bit. He was serious. Mike, he was serious. He's like, oh, let me guess. You guys like The Godfather, like every other list. We're like, yeah, because it's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's a flawless movie with like eight of the best acting performances of all time. I'm so angry that I missed this.
Oh my God. I'm so sad
that I came on it at eight my time instead of seven.
I wish you were just sitting in the background watching.
How is your stat of the day possibly going to follow that?
I can't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like this segment that you're about to do right here is going to be the kind of the letdown that you get when you had a great opening act and then the main act kind of just.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm fine with that though. I'm fine playing second fiddle to what just happened. I'm not going to try to outdo it.
I can't wait for you to watch it. I can't wait for this thing to cut post and then you click on that link and just sit there and absorb. How many minutes was it? However many minutes it was. It was phenomenal.
Ugh, I just want to do it again. But instead, we'll do his stat of the day.
Start of the day, it is the start of the day. Start of the day, it is the start of the day. Start of the day, it is the start of the day. Start of the day, it is the start of the day.
Here's your stat of the day. On its opening weekend, December 27th to 29th, 1991, the movie Grand Canyon made $67,546.
I stand corrected.
It's just a terrible take, right? I'm honestly never even heard of the movie. Like, where did
me neither? I've never heard of it.
Is it thought of as a movie that's a top 100 movie?
No.
Here's what I'll say. Shockingly, I'm going to come to David Sampson's defense a little bit. Okay, this is subjective. People like what they like. You think Grand Canyon is the greatest movie of all time? The greatest script of all time?
Second.
That's fine. It's fine. Live your life, as far as I'm concerned. The thing is, like, when you put yourself forward as an expert in a certain subject and then you declare something like that, like, you are opening yourself up to other people ridiculing you and saying, like, that's absurd. Like, if Amin said the greatest basketball player of all time is Baron Davis or something, people will go like, what are you talking about? That's insane. You can measure some of this stuff.
Is it Baron Davis? Is that what this movie is?
To be fair, Grand Canyon was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay, as well as a Golden Globe for Best Original Screenplay. It did not win, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like that. It's fine. It's fine to like to think that's your have your favorite movie of all time. Whatever. Like to me, when people say like, "What's your favorite screenplay?" I don't say The Godfather or whatever. I say like Midnight Run. I think Midnight Run is like a perfect screenplay that would get me largely ridiculed within like movie cinephile circles, right? But also, but that's what I'm saying. I don't present myself as an expert on movie history and. Have a podcast about it.
It lost to The Crying Game.
Well, that makes sense.
All right, fair. I have an actual sports stat of the day. If you want the sports stat of the day,
let's do it.
I scrambled and looked that up. Here's my sports stat of the day. I think you all know what it is. Light the beam. The longest playoff drought in NBA history is over 16 years. The Kings are going to the playoffs. This is a big deal. And I'm not just saying that as your Sacramento Kings correspondent. I'm saying that as a sports fan. The Kings are the Detroit Lions of the NBA. They have been, in their history, the Rochester Royals, the Cincinnati Royals, the Kansas City Omaha Kings, the Kansas City Kings, now the Sacramento Kings. And since 1952, they have won 10 total playoff series. 10 since 1952. Steph Curry has won 10 playoff series since 2018.
Jesus Christ. This is
a huge deal, and I'm very proud of my boys, and I'm rooting for them. I'm going to go to a playoff game, I think, at some point. I'm going to go up to Sacramento and see a playoff game.
Let me know when. I'll come too.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do a live Meadowlark podcast from as the beam is being lighted. We will do a live podcast.
I mean, they have no shot, though, right? I mean, come on.
They're going to be the three seed, man.
Shot at what?
They totally have a shot.
Shot at what?
Winning a first round?
They have absolutely a shot at winning a first round.
Well, just by being in the playoffs, I guess they have a shot.
They have
but
a shot.
Do they actually have a shot?
They have home court. They have home court in the first round, and they're gonna play one of those middling teams that are all vying for six. The thing is, the tricky thing is Golden State might end up being the six, in which case you wouldn't bet on Sacramento, but they totally have a shot, I think.
Yeah, here's the problem. Like, the six is going to be either the Suns or the Clippers or the Warriors. I don't think it's going to be the Timberwolves. And so those three teams, all of them are really experienced in terms of their players and playoff vetted and everything. And Sacramento, on the other hand, is not. You look at the Kings roster and the extent of their playoff experience beyond a first-round appearance here and there for Kevin Huerter and Domantas Sabonis is Harrison Barnes and Matthew Dellavedova. And I think, like, that's tough.
Delly.
That's tough to go into a playoff series against players that have, on each one of those three teams, marquee players who've won championships. Like, that's
true.
That's tough.
Counter argument. The Clippers are not a good offensive team at all.
Yes.
Sacramento is a historically great offensive team.
Yes.
Four games at home with that crowd against the Clippers, I would give them a good shot. The Warriors is obviously tough because they're the Warriors and they seem to be able to flip the switch whenever they want.
And also, that building will be 40% Warriors fans.
True. But the six could also be the Lakers. And I would even with LeBron,
wow.
I might give the edge at home to the Kings based on how much they score, I swear.
Wow.
The Lakers have been outscored this year. They don't play defense. Like, they're not a good team.
It's different.
On defense.
They've changed.
I know it's different. I understand. I get it. Like, I'm not saying it's a shoe. I'm saying that with home court in the first round, I think they have a good shot against the Clippers. I think they have a very good shot against the Wolves. I think they have a decent shot against the Lakers. The Warriors is the nightmare, and that's probably what they're going to
do. If
they
play the Wolves, I think they'll beat the Wolves. I'll take Kings over Wolves because the Wolves aren't good. If they play the Warriors, I don't think they beat them. If they play the Suns, they're not going to beat them. If they play the Clippers, they have a better chance because in the infinitely wise words of Carrie Champion, the Clips gonna clip. Like, they find a way somehow, despite having all the advantages, to throw it all away. It's tough, man. When you talk about playoff basketball, it is so different from regular season that the biggest thing is most of the players who haven't experienced it don't even, they can't even fathom what the jump is. They're like, oh, everyone plays harder. Like, no, you don't get it. The attention to detail, the scouting is so much better. And that's the one thing that the Kings have a problem with is that they are not a good defensive team. So
yeah.
A lot of times the defense you play in the playoffs is not what you played all year long, right? You might, we guard side pick and rolls this way and top pick and rolls this way and, you know, whatever, you know, post ups this way during the regular season. And for the most part, we don't tweak it too much from game to game. And then you get to the playoffs and literally from night to night, maybe even from quarter to quarter, we're changing coverages. And you have to have guys who are used to and flexible enough to change with that. And that's kind of one of the things why the Warriors were so great. It's because they had all these smart players that were really experienced and they were able to get all these things that were thrown at them as far as, okay, we're going to start guarding it like this. And like, cool. With a young team, an inexperienced team that's not good at defense, like that's a really bad combination of things to be. But you're right. They are historically great offensively.
Counter argument to all that, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Light the beam.
That's a good argument, though.
Yeah,
that's an argument. Mike's got that one. Yeah, light the beam.
I stand corrected again.
Bishop to Rook 9.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
The alley has a bad reputation in general, right?
It does.
Throughout American history.
Yeah. But on South Beach, someone's always just sitting somewhere smoking a cigarette. You can't go down an alley around here and not see someone sitting there smoking a cigarette.
It retains a pulsating heat from the night before.
You walk by some liquid that you're like, is that water? Didn't rain last night. That's definitely not water.
Avoid the liquid. Always avoid the liquids in an alley.
Stugatz.
I venture a guess that if you were to rake your tongue on the asphalt of an alley, you would die immediately.
Wow. I don't think it would be immediately, though. First, you'd contract very quickly, right before death, several sexual diseases, and then you would die.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Fresh off of a winning week, I think our first Thursday Thunder win in a long time. Your boy.
Short memory.
Shooters have a short memory.
There you go.
The great shooters do, at least. And we're going to re-rack here for Thursday Thunder. We've got two hoops games tonight, and then we've got a opening day Marlins bet, too, which I'm very excited about. All right, so here's our parlay. Me and Amin just did the math.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like Chris Middleton might be playing tonight against Boston.
Yep.
Milwaukee's at home. 2-point favorites. We are going to take the points with Milwaukee. -2. We're going to go Milwaukee -2 for our first leg of our parlay.
Chris Middleton, every game he's missed since the All-Star break has been on one leg of a back-to-back. So, didn't play last night.
So, guess what?
Playing tonight.
Sounds like the storm we had here in Miami last night. Am I right, guys?
Oh, my God.
That was a wild one.
We got some stories about that one.
Poor Amin got stuck on the rain. Staying in the association, we've got the Denver Nuggets tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans. We're going to take Denver money line at home in the altitude.
Yep.
Does all Jokic do is just have triple doubles? That's kind of it.
No matter what. Yeah.
And have bloody arms.
And bloody arms. Bloody that's arms, obvious, though. God. That's always and forever.
I feel like the...
Watch out with the Thunder.
I feel like the tattoos.
He should get two sleeves so that he never bleeds.
No, I'm talking about the scars that look like a fresh cut.
They're fake, you're saying?
I think they're tattoos because they're always in the same spot. It's not like he ever gets a horizontal one. It's always that one long slash there on this one and that one. And it's never like actively bleeding. You never see it drip down. It just manages just to stay in that little scar area. Come on.
something to think about.
What's the third leg?
Our third leg are Miami Marlins against the New York Metropolitans.
Wow. Yeah.
Sandy on the bump.
Boom.
We're taking the Fish money line. So again, to recap.
Fins. Or whatever they're called.
Yeah. Thank you.
The Marfins.
Milwaukee minus two. The Fish money line. Denver money line. That'll give you a plus 441 parlay. And we hit one last week that was plus 481.
The kid's on fire.
Come on.
Now, do you guys do the thing where I learned recently that the way you should do parlays is
stake them individually?
Yeah.
Smart people do
that. I like my parlays with a little bit of yogurt, a little bit of granola, a little bit of fresh fruit, a little bit more granola. Oh, those are parfaits.
Ah, that was parfait.
No one can throw me in the penalty box because it's... Yeah.
I think Amin still has that power, actually.
I do, but I'm not... I choose to lie.
Our judicious leader.
This is the San Levitard show.
I mean, Chris, I mean, you have imaging that you can use for bad jokes.
You're really toeing the line here.
Just make sure the prior imaging was not playing. I think it's a good
joke. Hey, but speaking of the rain, though.
There you go.
Speaking of the rain, yesterday, so I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm fasting. It's Ramadan. This is day 8 of Ramadan. And so yesterday, like, I'm fasting.
I hope you have an easy fast, by the way.
Thank you. And it has been easy for the most part until yesterday. We had that whole talk about steak and fogo de chao. And, I was like, you know what? Fogo de chao sounds like a good idea. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait in my room until right before sunset, and then I'm going to Uber and get to Fogo de Chao.
Quick trip.
It's not that far from where I'm staying. With plenty, it's like right when breakfast is supposed to happen, we're good, right? Call the Uber. Uber's $8. Perfect. That's a nice, reasonable cost to get down there. I step outside, and it's like someone just turned on a faucet and said, to hell with it. I'm washing everything away. At one point, I saw an old man on a boat with two of every animal. I was like, oh, shit, man. I don't know.
Said, wait a second.
Stan's Levitard show was funnier than that, and the whole room's chuckling. Well,
oh, wow.
It's called male privilege. but so here's the worst part.
Funny.
The Uber comes, and the guy, because I'm staying on the beach, they have designated pickup spots. So the guy stops like a block and a half from where I am. So I sent him the quick message. I said, hey, man, like, it's crazy.
Oh, brother, do you not see that it's pouring outside?
I can't.
Oh, zero stars.
Bro, wait.
I can't. Just can you like, just come down the block. Literally, just come down this block right here. I'm halfway down the block. No answer. But it says red. I'm like, buddy, please. It's crazy. And then finally, he says in Spanish, the street's closed. And so I'm like, okay. So him responding to me in Spanish, he wasn't going to take time to put in Google Translate or whatever. So I'm like, I got to send this message to him in Spanish. So as I'm putting in the Google Translate how to say, yo, the street isn't closed until halfway through the block. That's where I can meet you. It's not that bad. Just like, just don't let me walk in this rain. Canceled.
I'm
like, all right. It's all good. Call
Zero
another one.
Stars.
Call another one. $29. Because it's raining so hard. So now the surge is hitting. So now I'm like, what the hell do I do?
Storm surge, if you will.
See, that's a good one. And now you've redeemed yourself. Now it's like,
get off my plane.
Okay.
It's 8 p.m. I'm like, man, I was supposed to eat like 20 minutes ago. So I'm struggling here. And eventually I made it down there. And here's the worst part. It was very mid. It was very, very mid.
Man.
It wasn't the Fogo de Chao experience.
Was it because you hyped it up too much ahead of time?
The seasoning on the meat.
It was a location situation, right?
I think so.
Really? So you didn't say Fogo de Wow?
Yeah. Get off my plane.
I don't know what Jeremy turns into.
Jeremy
turns into something I like when he's in that background.
Hold on. You just lowered my laptop lid to make that joke?
Yes, I did.
Get off my plane.
Unbelievable.
Back row's bringing it today.
Get off my plane.
Hey, no, don't put me in with that. No, come on.
Fogo de now.
That's what you wish you had.
Yeah.
What? You got to go to the one in the game.
Fogo
de
how? Yeah, we're back.
Fogo de wow.
We're back.
And happy birthday to him. I don't care.
Good luck.
You remember what you were talking about now?
How high would you rate your day so far, ZP? We've got a few
dude, hold on. This
left.
Week, he's been incredible.
I think you've been crushing it, especially today. It's been a difficult, challenging day.
You know what my rule of life is?
What's that?
Laughter.
That's
have
a good rule.
And in that context, I've succeeded.
Yep. Good rule to have. Good rule to have. Here's my rule of life. I hate things. I hate things about myself.
I hate things too.
You know what I hate about myself? That I get so annoyed when someone can't hear me on a phone. That I get angry. And I have to stop myself and say, why am I getting angry? It's, they're not doing it on purpose. So like if you've been in this situation. You're talking to someone. You're like, hey, come down. I need you to come downstairs, meet me, and grab this bag. And then they say, what? You broke up after I need.
And the old you broke up, it's always annoying to hear.
Yeah, so then you say, oh, I said, I need you to meet me downstairs and come grab this bag. Like again, it as soon as you said I need, it stopped. And you're like, I need you to come downstairs and meet me and grab this bag. And I'm like, why am I so upset and saying this in such a deliberately asshole fashion?
Then the other person gets upset. You don't have to scream. And it's like, well, no, I have to scream because you didn't hear me.
You can't hear me. So is there, if I give you, people can't hear you on the phone as the most annoying thing that makes you mad, can you one-up me?
When you can't hear the other person. This has been happening to me for months with my friend Priya, who has headphones that do not work on Bluetooth when she's on the phone. So she'll call me after work, walking outside noisy, busy New York City streets, and I hear every car going by, every person, and her voice is so quiet. And I'm like, hey, dude, like, I can't hear you. Can you, like, turn your headphones off? She's like, how about now? And I'm like, no, it's, like, really, like, you sound really far away. And she's like, okay, how about now? Like, I'm like, no, I still can't hear you. And I'm just like, I can't hear you. Turn your Bluetooth off and just hold your phone up to your ear like it's the 90s again.
Like it's the 90s. Wait, hold on. Where's
your phone?
There's nothing worse than holding your phone up for a long conversation. Your arm gets tired. You're like, how did people do this once upon a time?
Well, you have to just get that antenna out. Yeah.
Antenna out.
And hope that does better when you're on the phone.
In this realm, something I hate is when I'm in an elevator and somebody is talking or any public small space and they're on speakerphone. Like if someone's on the phone, like I'm a big speakerphone guy. Like if I'm alone in the house, I'm talking on speakerphone. But if I'm in around people, it's off speaker.
I hate
hearing other people's conversations.
And that person doesn't know that the whole elevator can hear them either.
Right.
So you don't know what they're going to say.
The young cousin of that is I FaceTime without headphones on. Like
that's a super common thing down here. I've noticed
everywhere.
It's yeah.
People don't make phone calls. And the only if I need to talk to Jess, I'm not gonna call her. I'm gonna FaceTime her. Like I don't understand that.
Now you really got me going. Now you got me thinking of all the things I hate. I also hate when you're in like a waiting room of some sort and somebody's watching a video, like without headphones on.
Dude, actually,
it's just like, dude. I'm going to give you about 7 seconds of this video playing before I just stare a hole through your face.
I will stare at people, too. I was on a flight where someone was playing their phone, audio out loud, and the flight attendant was like, sir, you can't do that here. And he was like, okay.
there was a person on my flight sitting behind me. It was a woman who was watching TikTok with no headphones or anything. And so it's like
diabolical.
Watching TikTok in the super hyper activity, not finishing the video. So it's like,
she's just looking for a good video.
But still on full blast volume.
How about when you're on a plane and you're getting really close to taking off and that one person's still on the phone?
On the phone, yeah.
And they just don't give a shit.
Or the person that's going to the bathroom and the pilot's like, we can't leave until you sit down. Yeah. And everyone's looking
around.
You know what?
You can leave.
Who is it?
How about this? You can leave. Leave.
I mean, you can't.
It's going to take us 15 minutes to get to actually flying the plane.
I am.
Let me take a piss.
I am the rebel. I am putting my thing on airplane mode until we're in the air.
Thank you.
It
doesn't do anything.
I don't forget. I don't remember until I see the dots on my phone. Like, oh yeah.
That's
the main point.
I like to be that rebel that's still on my phone. So before we take off, that's right.
My brother is an electrical engineer, so
in
2010, I think he told me, you know, that whole turn off, put your phone off thing is. I was like, no, it messes with instrumentation. He's like, the number of cell phones that would need to be on in order to mess with the instrumentation of the plane would be like, it's like 7,000.
I don't like this.
You need 7,000
phones.
Phones.
more phones than were on the plane. It's not like if everyone on this plane had their phone
it's
on.
It's literally like
Now if everyone listens to this and they turn their phone on, that's like 300 phones.
He's like literally everyone would need to have like 20
and
phones.
And what is worst case? Like what would happen? They would just lose ability to like communicate. Like the plane's not going to shut off. It's more just their communication stuff.
We'd know.
Yeah, but I'm just assuming.
It wasn't.
Be something where if a bunch of phones turn on, the engine blows up.
Yeah, it's like, not like, we're going down.
Who has their phone on in 32B? We said airplane mode.
Get off my plane.
I don't like this hypothetical.
What Tony talked about before about like, will you say something to people in these spots? I won't, but nobody's better than me of communicating like an annoyance.
A nonverbal,
I'm annoyed. I'm great at that. I'm great at
the parental.
I think you've got a good dirty look.
I can give a very audible deep breath.
Give it to. Okay. Here we go. Jessica, you're the young person watching TikTok with no holds barred, no headphones or anything. Lots of sound. Chris Cody, you're in the waiting room, and this young woman here is doing her thing. All right, go.
All right, I'm gonna. Extend the phone out.
All right. Okay. He's adjusting himself. Now he's turned. He's turned laser like beams. 90 degrees, and he's staring daggers into Jessica.
I mean, this is. Could you believe the nerve on this?
Laser beams.
If you're listening, you're like, this isn't good content. Guess what? YouTube.com/Levitard and Friends. You just got a glorious, glorious stare down from Chris Cody. But shout out to Jess.
If you don't know what I was just doing, it's what you do you want more ketchup from your server and you don't want to be the jerk. Like it's like the body language of I'm annoyed, I need something without actually being like
This is what you do. It's hands down because you don't want to do fingers, but then your upper body becomes the fingers.
Right. As long as your arms are moving, I'm gonna be moving all over the place.
I like to clear my throat. Just like, there's someone else in the room.
I will look back.
I make this noise.
When I need something from a server at a restaurant, if I haven't seen them for 5 minutes, I will look around. I'll do the whip around so that another server sees me and they can just tell that I need something. I like giving off the energy of another server coming up to me. Like, can I get you something? You clearly need something. Can I tell your waiter? Like, it's like, yes, I'd like another refill, actually. Thank you. I like that you can give off the vibe of I need someone without saying anything.
I like one thing about Fogo de Chao, the one I went to last night, is that they didn't have like this territorialism about who can help me. Every single waiter.
That's the great very thing helpful. There. It's a team. It takes a village.
There it is.
To feed a mean 18 pounds of meat.
I'm learning that I hate a lot of things.
Attention.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Don Lebatard.
At the end of our conversation with Alex Smith, and we talked for about 30 minutes, but I feel like nobody is going to remember anything about that conversation other than how you fell flat at the end with your very last word. Listen to how Stugatz here at the end of this interview says goodbye, just exhausted, to Alex Smith.
Stugatz.
What happened, Alish?
I'm exhausted. I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
There's some good basketball stuff that I want to get into with Amin, and I just need to apologize to you guys in the audience. It's not very often around here that I just sort of disappear for a while. But, you know, the Samson thing has exploded in our face very early.
What's he doing?
I mean, he's mad. He's like,
I love it.
We haven't even got 7 days in.
I mean, people don't like him. We hired somebody people don't like because I'm not a businessman and I need some help with some difficulties navigating a difficult time in American sports content media. Like, I'm not a business person. We got some executives around here, but I need people with management experience, not just content experience. Like, make me dollars. Make us dollars.
I got you, Dan.
I don't know if I can ask this now. Maybe we'll edit it out if I can't, but isn't Samson's brand like, I'm the guy everybody hates? So, like, why would...
And it's nothing personal.
And it's nothing personal.
It's all business.
Why would he be...
How am I to manage? Okay, I want to get to this basketball stuff, but I just ask you guys, okay? Because not to channel Stu Gatz, but I didn't ask for any of this. But we start a business, and it's responsible for Greg Cody's grandkid, and we're trying to navigate a difficult media environment. And Greg Cody's grandkid, the product of nepotism, is now risen in 3 days to the American dream of looking like the best executive producer.
Well, no, that's Greg Cody's kid who's doing that, his grandkid.
Well, they all need to have jobs in this market.
Yeah, mine does too.
Greg Cody's...
My daughter's an intern for us. You didn't hear?
Newspaper career is dying. Newspapers are dying.
Benjamin Button.
The Cody's continue to try and make money in this market. And you may have noticed radio is in trouble, too. If we're going to recreate 790, there are only going to be these jobs in South Florida and media that are high-paying jobs that remind us of 20 years in this business. If we keep the business afloat because we got the gambling money and skip. There are a lot of people. You guys have noticed there are a lot of people working here. Yes.
Every day I walk in and there's a new person that I don't
know. Dominique walked in today and could not believe the sprawling humanity.
No, that's not what he couldn't believe. He couldn't believe we were in a meeting.
And I was at the helm.
Chris was leading.
Our captain.
And I want to know, I ask the group, all of you, what am I to do with the fact that there's now an employee on board that no one seems to like?
Again, like, I thought that was his thing. That would be like...
I don't know how serious of an answer you want me to give you.
I think, here's my thing. Like, it would be like me getting upset that people call the movies we watch on Cinephobe shitty. Like, I know. That's the point. Right? That's what we do. Right? And does Chris get mad when we call him an oaf?
No.
No? Because he knows he's an oaf.
Okay, but there's this thing where you're managing personalities around here, and God knows. I mean, this is the vanity business. Everybody's got an ego. Everybody wants a microphone. Everybody wants to get in the game right until the criticism and the flames rise, and you're not getting the applause, and now you're in the heat of, oh, everyone hates me. That doesn't feel good. Social media is mean. No one likes David Sampson.
Maybe we can teach him to be likable?
How?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm just throwing out ideas.
You think I know?
But like, Dan, like you're doing
how
this.
How to be likable? You think that's what I was going for?
Dan, you're doing this thing where you like, you're having a sleepover at your house and then you're asking who invited the jerk.
Is that a honking sound in the background? Did Jeremy
Tesh? Yeah, there's a goose. There's a goose back here.
What was that sound?
That's a suing nominee.
That is the
right
correct
there.
Analogy. And for insubordination, executive producer, penalty box, 2 minutes for embarrassing.
Come on, Dan.
For embarrassing the founder of the company at a time that he's trying to bring someone aboard so that our business can succeed, even though everybody hates him. Like, what do I do? I'm asking the group, I need an honest, like, team meeting, brainstorming session with everybody here as we try and find a new executive producer and he wants the job.
Right.
I mean, that's the best analogy I've heard all day. I think that just gave him the job right there.
The job. What am I supposed to do with the future that involves a David Sampson that no one at the company seems to like?
I maybe prep him? On it? I don't know. Like, here's the thing. Again, it's hard for me to try to solve the issue of someone who went on brand and then didn't like it. I mean, you're on brand. This isn't like if Adnan had been the one who's upset, because Adnan's brand is I'm upbeat and I'm funny and I like it all the time. And if people jumped on Adnan for, you know, I don't know, for
being too earnest.
Yeah.
He's never lost an argument around here, allegedly, Samson, because this is true.
Because we don't air the ones that he loses.
Oh, Helwani 10-7.
There's a little nugget for the audience.
Helwani thinks he does a good job, but I've never seen Samson capitulate. Right? I've never seen him, like, with Helwani, he just keeps going back and forth. And we can sit here and say, you know, Ariel got the best of him in that one. But Samson's swinging the whole time. Like, this Adnan segment, really, I've never seen him kind of just be, like, throw his hands up and be like, I'm done.
It's that when you're the heel in wrestling, like, you are the heel.
Yeah.
Right? You can't be upset when people are like, oh, I don't like you.
Right.
Well, I'm the heel. Like, you're not supposed to like me.
Okay, but wait a minute. Yeah. You guys speak of this so freely as if there aren't human dynamics in every locker room. Like, in you guys, we talk about sports all the time. LeBron James thought it'd be fine to be the heel. Until he was. until he actually was, until no one liked him. And he's like, oh, that doesn't feel very good. I'm going to spend the rest of my career hoping that everyone likes me. I'm going to do a lot of different things for a lot of different people. And I'm going to make sure that I create my brand going forward in a way that is pure and Michael Jordan of his time. And he's figured all of these navigations out.
But he did it for a year. He tried being a heel for a year. Didn't like it and said, look, that's not who I am. I'm always been a positive guy. I'm going to go back to being positive me. And it worked out great. And obviously winning helps. But like eventually people forgot much of the vitriol.
You think Durant knows what a heel felt like? Like you think Durant's general life is fun now that he's a heel and you think it's good? You think his life is good?
I think once he accepted, like because there was a point where there was a shame and like, oh, you're talking to these people on Twitter. And Durant decided, you know what? Yeah, I am going to talk to these people on Twitter and be a jerk and all that stuff. And he seems to be a lot happier than he was when he was seeking approval from the masses. I'm also saying that David Sampson has always been that guy. It's like, I like it, right? He's the guy that walked out of Moss, and as he's getting booed, two middle fingers says $1 billion, right? $1.2 billion. So the idea that now he's arrived at a place where, like, I don't feel like being a heel anymore. This wasn't the LeBron, let me dally.
No, he wants Main Street popularity. He wants to be applauded. He wants to be
Miller. Reggie Miller was like, guys, I really don't like that they hate me.
Do you know how hard all of this has to be for me to welcome the guy who did that at that party into the business side of this because I need help with the business acumen that's required to do some of the stuff we're trying to do?
Isn't that the whole point, right? Like, you think, like, I'm going to watch wrestling, but you know the heels come out and they get booed? You think they go back in the locker room and be like, I don't know how much of this they take. They're like, yeah, we're all doing the bit, and the fans know it too. They're like, boo, we hate you, unnamed wrestling heel, because I don't watch wrestling. Boo, hiss. But
the difference is when they get backstage, the other wrestlers are like, hey, I actually like you, man.
Not always. I mean.
But, like, in here. I don't know if anyone's being a wrestling character. Just kind of how we feel.
Well, but this is how we are, and I still have the problem that none of you are helping me fix. And yes, you are correct. I have invited him to the party.
But it's not our problem.
Well, but it is, because it's our company.
Well, it's your company.
Okay. Yeah, we just work here.
So you problem.
But we
I'll
all
take on. Hey,
we,
it's mine. I'll
we
take
do
it.
All have
mine and Dan's.
We all do have equity in the company.
Oh, there it is again, the big E word. I love it.
No, it's not our company.
No, it is our company. Yes, we have a problem to solve, and
it's our company.
Just don't have any ideas.
It's our company. Just like my kids say, it's our car. When we can, like,
Jeremy, wait a minute. Okay, so let me understand this. Jeremy, do you have equity?
I do not.
Okay,
you want some? Yeah, I would
why
love some.
You
want to give
fix
it out?
The problem,
no,
then.
I can't take mine. No.
Yeah, you got to get your own mother.
So the group does not know that hypothetically, whatever equity it is that you have, that if we
oh,
turn.
I know.
No, but if we turn $50 million, because we got a pretty powerful man at the top of the business.
You're welcome.
REP? Oh, you're talking about Skipper.
If we turn $50 million into a $200 million or $300 million or $400 million company, and you guys have equity and Jeremy
points.
And Jeremy doesn't, you guys have millions of dollars and Jeremy doesn't.
Wait.
That's not our decision, by the way.
Yo, is that real?
You guys have equity in the company. Do you not know this? Who did? No one explained this to you guys?
No, I just kept showing up to work. Like, remember, it wasn't even a company. It was a pirate ship in the sky that we were trying to build in the middle of a pandemic. I think that's the terminology. I didn't know. I just show up here.
The employees here own half the company. That's how it works. The equity, half of the company. How do you guys not know that this is our company?
Well, I
how
know.
Is that possible?
I know that I have stock options. I don't know how many.
How is that possible?
Dan, once again, I'm not sure how serious of an answer you want me to give, because this is something I have a lot of thoughts on, and I don't know what we're putting out there
about us owning the
about
company?
About David Sampson, about Metalark, about this
I'm
problem.
I'm putting company business out in the street. I'm trying to fix the business parts of this
Hold
company
on.
That our people are learning how to do as we figure all of this out. And in a new media landscape.
Are you saying right now that we're all millionaires?
No.
On paper?
No. I don't know what this company is worth. It's not going to be worth anything if this is what the segments are like. But DraftKings valued us at 50, whatever. They valued us at $50 million. And we've been a monster success for DraftKings.
And employees own half.
Half is that's 25 that's new mil, information. I don't know if that's mil, I don't know if we know one, how many two, of the shares three, have been doled out yet, Dan.
It's a lot
so
of halves.
That might be new information.
Look, let me just say, if we own 25 mil as the employees, there ain't 25
this,
of us here.
I was in the meeting where this was explained to everybody in the green room.
Dan,
like,
we know we have stock options, but if you don't know how many total there are, you don't know how many you have. You know? I know I have a few pennies.
I know if I'm worth millions, I quit right now. You guys got it from here. You guys could take it.
I'd have to actually look at your contract details, which I have no idea about, to know whether or not if we, hypothetically, if we were to turn this from a $50 million company to, because it's not just the show,
right,
a $200, a $300, a $400 million company.
Can we get to a bill?
And you guys have equity stakes because we're making content in a whole lot of different areas. If you have even, you know, I don't know how this the math on this works. If you have a fraction of a percentage of 100%, you've got,
the pie,
you've got a company and a stock that's worth a good amount of
but
money.
But we're not a publicly traded company right now, so it is not like literal money that we can cash in and make off of our
no,
jobs.
Stocks vest in 4 years is the way they explained it to me. That you gotta, like, it's gotta,
we haven't had a valuation probably since the company started either, so we don't exactly know.
Let's get one of those. Let's get a big one.
This
Yeah.
Let's go public.
Good.
Let's do an IPO.
This is certainly helping.
That would be good.
I want to do an IPO and then come in here with slick back hair and like a three-piece suit and double-breasted and big pinstripes, and I'm going to be Michael Douglas in Wall Street. Yeah. And every time I look at anyone, I say, greed is good.
Well, Chris Whittingham.
We already have a David Samson.
Oh, shit.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.